airlines and at least one union are worried about swine flu. Textron makes painful new cuts at Cessna. And the Ecoflyer didn't make it home from Lakeland. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, April 30th, 2009. The worldwide swine flu scare is resulting in more airline flight cancellations. Bloomberg reports Canadian carriers Air Canada, WestJet, and Transat have joined two European tour operators in suspending flights to Mexico. Argentina has stopped all its flights to Mexico until May 4th, and Cuba has imposed a 48-hour suspension. Three cruise lines also say they're suspending stops at Mexican ports. In the U.S., where federal health officials have advised against any unnecessary travel to Mexico, some airlines have offered to waive penalties for customers who want to delay their travel to heed the government warning. U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood says the current danger level is not high enough to warrant formal travel restrictions between the U.S. and Mexico. The Associated Press reports the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, is asking the FAA to require airlines to provide flight attendants with non-latex gloves and masks, and to allow flight attendants with flu-like symptoms to call in sick without having the absence counted against their allotted sick leave. The union contends the liberalized sick leave tactic, quote, will reduce the risk of disease transmission for all aircraft occupants, unquote. Fears that swine flu could become a pandemic threaten a panic that's out of proportion to the threat so far. There have been about 150 confirmed swine flu deaths in Mexico as of last night, and none in the U.S. But ordinary seasonal influenza kills an average of 36,000 people in the U.S. every year. There's mixed news for those who've placed orders for the big new Cessna Citation Columbus. The good news, you may be getting a check in the mail. The bad news is, it's a return of your deposit. Blaming a drop of another 20% in forecast jet deliveries, Cessna yesterday started issuing another 1,600 layoff notices. The Columbus jet project will be halted, and the plant in Bend, Oregon, which builds the 350 Corvallis and 400 Corvallis TT, will be shuttered. In a memo to employees yesterday morning, Cessna CEO Jack Pelton said resources will be focused in areas he called strategic. Quote, to that end, we will continue programs such as the Citation CJ-4 and the 162 Skycatcher. We also will continue to work on research and development of numerous yet-to-be-announced new products, all of this while exploring new ways to strengthen our customer support offerings, unquote. He added that the production line from the Bend facility will be consolidated in Independence. Of the Columbus, he said, quote, we still feel this is a program with great potential and one we will pursue when the market recovers, unquote. Pelton also said as many as 700 more layoff notices can be expected in the near future. The 2,300 total employees affected will receive 60 days pay. One of the more interesting new planes we saw in Lakeland was completely destroyed in a crash heading home from the event, and its pilot, who was also the president of the plane's manufacturer, has been killed. The Ecoflyer is a kit-built plane with a huge interior, allowing room for two to camp comfortably behind the seats. The company says 9 kits have been shipped and all reached the flying stage, powered by the Jabiru 3.3-liter 4-stroke engine. The company had just announced its intent to market the kit as a factory-built LSA in about 12 months, using a smaller Rotax power plant. Police reports say 56-year-old Bernard LaFerriere, president of Explorer Aeronautique, the plane's manufacturer, had stopped to refuel at Norwich, New York, on his way back to Quebec from Florida. He reportedly delayed takeoff to wait for calmer winds, then took off about 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. After he was reported overdue arriving home, searchers found the wreckage Tuesday afternoon. It's thought LaFerriere died on impact. ANN will have details as the investigation moves forward. Up next on ANN, an Air Canada pilot is accused of showing up drunk for work. An NTSB prelim may have put investigator suspicions between the lines. And Southwest gets sued over bad cabin air. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 30th. I'm Paul Plack. An Air Canada pilot is the latest to be arrested for suspicion of using alcohol. Described as a backup pilot for a 777 flight from London to Calgary, the pilot was confronted on April 16th by a Heathrow Airport security guard who said he smelled alcohol. British police say they arrested the 45-year-old male on suspicion of being aviation staff performing an aviation function while exceeding the prescribed alcohol limit. They add they administered a breathalyzer test and that the man was released on bail. Air Canada's Peter Fitzpatrick stressed the man was, quote, a backup pilot referred to as the relief or augmentation pilot. He wasn't scheduled to fly. He wasn't going to be operating the aircraft. I think that's an important point to note, unquote. But the airline does admit that in that backup role, any alcohol consumption within 12 hours before the flight would violate company policy. The pilot has reportedly been suspended pending further investigation. When the National Transportation Safety Board issues a preliminary report on an aircraft accident, no suspected cause is stated. But sometimes it's pretty easy to read between the lines and discover the suspicions of the investigators. In the April 4th in-flight fire and subsequent fatal crash of a KR-2 homebuilt near its Phase 1 test base at Valdosta Regional Airport in Georgia, the NTSB notes in its preliminary factual report that an earlier test flight had been followed by the post-flight discovery of suspected fuel staining at the control valve for the 15-gallon header tank in front of the pilot. The report goes on to note that while two earlier test flights were performed by an assistant, this was the first flight by the accident pilot, who had recently installed a cigarette lighter in the aircraft. The pilot was 9 miles out from Valdosta when he told ATC he had smoke in the cockpit. He then reported a fire in the cockpit on his last transmission. The NTSB's final report on probable cause can be expected in about a year. Two sisters who were passengers on a Southwest flight in January are suing the airline over claims a mysterious substance entered the plane's cabin through air vents and has left them with debilitating physical symptoms. Victoria Vaughn Holstead and Valerie Vaughn, who are twins, say they were on flight 1705 January 27th when they and other passengers began to experience hypoxia. They say the pilot then entered a steep descent at full power, during which hot air and an unidentified mist came through the vents. They claim that, since the event, they've been suffering pressure in their heads, nasal passages and ears, tremors, memory loss, motor skill deficiencies, blurred vision, numbness, and tingling in extremities, and have both had to miss work. Victoria says she's a real estate executive. Valerie says she's a PGA professional. The petition for preservation of evidence was filed against Southwest in Los Angeles Superior Court, and a spokesperson for the plaintiffs says the two women want the information they need to get appropriate medical treatment. As of our deadline, Southwest had not commented. Still ahead, Northrop and Eads continue showing off for U.S. procurement officials. Augusta Westland touts the VH-71 program's latest milestone. And internet photos of a landing gone bad embarrass a young pilot. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, April 30th. I'm Paul Plack. As U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates prepares to unleash Round 3 of the competition for a new U.S. aerial tanker contract, Northrop Grumman and Eads continue building a resume for their Airbus A330-based design. The manufacturers report the latest milestone for the plane, officially known as the A330 Multi-Role Tanker Transport, was met recently when the plane made 20 successful contacts with a C-135 tanker operated by the French Air Force during two test sorties. The A330 MRTT was one of five slated for delivery to the Royal Australian Air Force. In addition to Australia, militaries in the UK, United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia have ordered the plane. Last year, the U.S. Air Force also selected the plane for purchase, but the contract award was overturned on challenge from Boeing. Northrop and Eads call the U.S. variant of the plane the KC-45. During last year's bid competition, the partners made much of the fact that, despite Boeing's seeming edge and experience building tankers, the KC-45's boom has been demonstrated in flight testing, while Boeing's design has not. With delivery risk a valid criterion in the bidding, expect milestone announcements from Northrop and Eads to continue. The VH-71 presidential helicopter project may be doomed, but until it's officially canceled, Augusta Westland is doing its best to stay on track delivering aircraft to Lockheed Martin for completion. AW is also calling out the U.S. military for its role in Project Bloat. The ninth and final VH-71 to be built under Increment 1 is leaving the U.K. this week aboard a U.S. Air Force C-17. Giuseppe Orsi, the CEO of Augusta Westland, says, quote, "The delivery of the final aircraft today has been achieved just over 4 years after the contract was awarded in 2005. All the aircraft delivered are completely compliant to the specifications required by the U.S. government, and the progress achieved in such a short period of time is uncommon for an acquisition of this size and complexity. The whole VH-71 team can be proud of this remarkable achievement," unquote. Augusta Westland points out the program schedule has changed by only 6 months while accommodating over 800 customer changes, including 50 major design changes. Quote, "Augusta Westland is ready to proceed with Increment 2 or a range of alternative solutions utilizing the capabilities of the Increment 1 VH-71. Unquote. Approximate translation, "You guys couldn't settle on final specs. We pulled off a miracle anyway. Ball's in your court." The Boeing 737 may be a legacy design, but the newest versions of the popular narrow-body airliner, reaching customers next year, will incorporate some improvements pioneered by the 787 Dreamliner. Boeing says seven airlines are scheduled to get the 737s with the new Boeing Sky interior. It includes sculpted cabin walls, which highlight the windows and allow relocation of air vents for quicker pre-flight checks. Reading light switches are placed more conveniently and farther from the attendant call button to avoid confusion. Overhead lighting done in blue is designed to mimic the color of the sky. Overhead luggage bins are reshaped to allow more wheeled carry-ons to fit, reducing the odds you'll have to use up scarce legroom stowing your bag. Cabin noise will be reduced through better acoustics, and redesigned PA speakers promise better sound and clarity. There's no word yet on whether they'll even out the wide variations in volume that make you strain to hear the soft-spoken flight attendant, then plug your ears when the pilot's announcements are deafening. The 737s with upgraded cabins are supposed to reach customers late in 2010. And finally today, 21-year-old Matthew Saplanda of Anchor Point, Alaska, has reportedly been around small airplanes his whole life. A year ago, he got his own pilot certificate, and on April 19th, he was flying with a buddy in his Taylor craft, scouting skiing and snowboarding opportunities, when he attempted to land near 6,000 feet on an unnamed peak east of Bald Mountain in the Talkeetnas. According to an account in the Anchorage Daily News, Matthew, or Jake as his friends call him, was not prepared for the hard, icy crust he encountered when the plane's skis touched down. Instead of slowing quickly as it would have in powder, the plane just kept sliding toward the edge of a cliff and a 1,500-foot drop. Fortunately, the left ski caught on a rock just as the plane went over the edge. Jake and his friend made a daring but successful climb to safety through the plane's left window, and the T-craft was later hoisted out by a Huey, suffering only minor damage. But unfortunately for the embarrassed 21-year-old, cameras are now everywhere. There's a great photo furnished by the Alaska Air National Guard you can see on the web. It's obvious when you see it how close a call this was. The URL is gobbledygook a mile long, so find the picture by visiting www.adn.com as in Anchorage Daily News, and enter TaylorCraft in the search box. Or just follow the FMI link from the data block that accompanied this Aerocast. And laugh all you want to. Jake's mom says he's already about as embarrassed as he could be. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Piper Aircraft CEO Jim Bass tells us why his company is well-positioned to weather the recession. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.